be very thankful all the time. Amen. We celebrate Thanksgiving this coming week. And I tell you what, we ought to be thankful as Christians, as God's people. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Amen. And listen, if you say, well, the Lord ain't been good to me, the Bible said that it was the goodness of the Lord that led you to repentance. Amen. Romans chapter 4, I believe it was. And God has been good to you, and He's been good to me. And now listen, we miss that a lot of times, how good God's been. Can I tell you something today? There's none of us that deserve God's goodness.
Amen.
None of us do today, but He sure has. You may think that you deserve God's goodness, but as I was listening to the preacher this morning on the radio, there's none righteous. There's only one that deserves that. And that the goodness of the Lord, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was the righteous one. He's the one that is worthy. There's none of us worthy today. And boy, thank God for the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because without it, we'd have never, ever got saved. Thank God for that this morning. Take your Bible and go over to the book of 1 Timothy. I want you to go to the book of 1 Timothy this morning, and we're going to preach just a little while. Now listen, as Thanksgiving is coming on, I do want to remind you to be thankful. Amen. And we ought to celebrate a day of thankfulness and that of the Lord. And listen, don't look at it as only a turkey day and a day when you're going to be with family. But be thankful and that of the Lord. All right, 1 Timothy 4, as we stand to our feet, and that across the house this morning, church. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to bring to you the Word of God that I believe be the message for the hour. I believe it's what God would have us to preach. Look in verse 1. The Bible said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." That's why we can eat that piece of ham.
Amen.
Come this Thanksgiving day. Amen. Thank God for that. "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for your wonderful mercy and the grace that you've given us. And Lord, for the next little while, we just need you to come by and that to touch. Lord, we just pray this morning that you'd just help us. Lord, I stand before you feeble. And God, I understand this morning that in my own self that I can do nothing. Lord, you told me that in John 15 and 5, that for without me you can do nothing. And God, we just need a touch, and that from heaven to preach. to have the right thought, the right mind this morning, the right heart. And God, we pray if there's somebody here lost, save them. Bring them out to a place of repentance. And God, I pray that they might get saved. God, I really pray that you'd touch them, that they'd move. Might the Holy Spirit be able to move upon folks' hearts today and deal with them and find help. I pray they'd find help in the Holy Spirit today and from the Word of God. And Lord, we just need a touch from you now. Help us, Lord. We'll give the glory for it all. I'd save that sinner that's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen and amen. As Paul starts out here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, as he begins to talk about the apostasy that was going to set forth in the latter days, he said this, no, he said now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. He's not talking about lost folk right there. He's talking and that about saved folk. He said there's going to be some that's going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. They're going to leave what they believe to know to be the truth, and they're going to quit what the Bible has to say. And listen, we're living in that day. We are in the latter days. Listen, have you ever seen folk that's quitting more than you have in any other time? I mean, they're just giving up. Listen, and they might not necessarily be turning that back into the world, but they're giving up on the truth of what the Word of God has to say. As a matter of fact, if you'll study this chapter, you'll find that Paul told Timothy in more than one place, he told him in verse 13, to give attendance to reading, to exhortation and to doctrine, the reading of the Word of God, the exhortation of the Word of God, and the doctrine that you find in the Word of God. When somebody says, I'm not going to preach doctrine, now listen, most of the time I know what that means, but you just ain't going to preach a whole lot if you ain't going to preach a doctrine. Now that's just the way the Word of God falls, because the Bible tells us at one point that the Word of God, what was it that he said? That the very first thing, when he talks about how profitable that the Word of God is, he said that it was profitable and that for doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine simply means that which is taught. And so Paul, he goes on down through here again, and he says, take heed in verse 16 unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Hey, it is important what you believe. Amen. You need to know what you are, and you need to know why you are what you are. I know why I'm an independent Baptist. I know why I believe that salvation through faith, by grace alone, without works, is how a man, woman, boy, or girl gets saved. I know why I believe that. I know why I believe the King James Bible. I know why I believe in holy living. I know these things because they're founded and found in the Word of God. How about you? What are you today? Do you even know what you are? Well, I didn't intend for none of this. Amen. But it's good. You need to know what you are. And the only place you're going to find out what to believe is in that book. Listen, don't take my word for it. Don't take the Sunday school teacher's word for it. Don't take Mama and Papa's word for it. Hey, get in the Word of God and find out for yourself what it says. Amen. And it'll lead you and guide you and instruct you and in all righteousness and truth. Amen. I got a preacher friend of mine. He always wants to talk about Papa. Papa was a preacher. I love Papas. Amen. I had a bunch of Papas, it seemed. But listen, I love Mama and Papa. But you need to know why you believe what you believe for yourself. Amen. You need to know this morning. Very important. Because if you don't know, then you know what we come back to? You're going to be part of the ones that's going to fulfill verse 1. You're going to be part of the ones that are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. And so the Apostle Paul, he warns and that of apostasy that's coming. And in verses about down, and he tells him to refuse old wives' fables. You know, just everything that we've heard down through time. And I always say this. Hey, there's been a lot of times, Brother Jeremiah's a young preacher, that I've not only probably misquoted the Bible, but quoted it to say some things that wasn't even in there. Amen. That we've heard over the years. It sounded good. Sounded like Bible. But it probably wasn't there. Amen. And you need to be careful about that. But if you begin to look in verses 8 through 16, he warns in that of apostasy in verses 1 through 7. And he tells us over here to exercise ourselves rather than that to godliness. Now, he didn't say that bodily exercise wouldn't profit. He just said that it profited little. Now, if you want to exercise, then I suggest you exercise. As a matter of fact, I found out that it does profit just a little bit. Amen. But in the grand scheme of things, godliness is far better than getting your body in shape. Did you know that? Now, a lot of you might disagree with that. And I think God does want us to be well. And I think God wants us to be healthy. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm talking about Christians, that are more concerned about exercising their physical body than they are their spiritual body. They're more than that concerned about what they put into it. Let me put it like this. If we had more Christians concerned about what they were putting in spiritually as much as they're concerned about what they're putting in physically, hey, we'd all be living righteously today. Amen. And then you may be like me and you don't care what you put in physically. Amen. I like to eat. Amen. I'm really excited about this candy corn. I am. I'm going to have to get it out of the way here. Amen. I got to quit looking at it. I tell you, I'm really excited about that stuff. I like it. But listen. Listen. So he tells him down here, I want you to look. He gives him the commands and the kind of actions as a Christian that we're supposed to have. He tells him down there at one point, let no man despise thy youth. He tells him to command these things in verse 11 and teach and all these things that he lays out. And I could just hang on every one of these and preach on them. And he tells him to be an example in verse 12 and tells him to give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. Do your job. He says, Timothy, do your job till I come. By the way, Timothy was the first pastor that they had at the church of Ephesus. But I want you to look, and I want to preach out of verse 14. And this is the verse I want to dwell on today and draw a thought out of it. When he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, that word presbytery, and I'll just say this real quick and move on. Now, only time we find it in your King James Bibles right here in this verse. And the presbytery in that, as we know it today, and that deals with a group of men, especially during ordination time, when we ordain somebody in that for the ministry, that those group of men, listen, they ordain them and send them out and that for whatever job may be. Listen, the Apostle Paul talks about with Timothy. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance in 2 Timothy 1 that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Hey, listen, I remember my ordination night. There's a lot of things I forgot over the years, but I remember my ordination night. The night that Lee's Chapel ordained me and sent me into the ministry. I remember sitting out here in the front and my preacher come down and prayed and put his hand. Hey, I remember that. With all my heart, I remember. And hey, listen, he said, look, Timothy, I want you to stir up that gift that was given you. Now, listen, I'm not sure what that gift was. I really believe that Paul was telling Timothy, do your job, preach, do what God has given you to do, and do it. Listen, in Acts chapter 6, I believe that we find a presbytery when it talks about whom they set forth before the apostles, talking about the first seven deacons, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They were setting them forth and that to the ministry. When Paul and Barnabas got ready to go in the mission field, and the Bible said in Acts 13, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And so I believe that God has a specific ministry for men and women and that to do today. Look what he said right here in verse 14. He said, neglect not the gift that's in thee. I want to preach on that simple word this morning, on neglect. neglect. He told Timothy, he said, don't you neglect the gift that's in you, the job that God's given you to do. Don't you neglect it. Now that word neglect simply means this, to omit by carelessness or design. In other words, it just means to omit, to stop, to quit what needs to be done. It means to slight or to take notice or to omit. Negligence. I think most of us know what negligence means. It means a habitual want of regard. You ever just seen somebody that is negligent? You ever just seen somebody that is a negligent driver? They won't have insurance for long, will they?
Amen.
Amen. I know some folk, they can't keep no mirrors on the side of their vehicle.
Amen.
Why? Because they're negligent in their driving. I better be careful because I'm liable to lose mirrors before it's over with. Amen. I don't want to poke fun at nobody. I'm just making a statement here. Now listen, that means that we're not paying attention and we're not doing what we should do.
Amen.
And listen, he said right here, neglect not to give. That's in there. And I want to look at that word neglect for just a little bit this morning. First of all, can I say this? Take your Bible and go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to look at it in this idea of neglecting salvation. Can I say that there's a lot of folk neglecting salvation? Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, there again, listen, know why you believe what you believe and give earnest heed to them as we let them slip. Hey, I'm a burn up today. I'm a digging in and I'm a getting ready for the fight. Amen. Hey, listen, I believe I'm Baptist. Amen. I believe in being Baptist. I think you ought to be Baptist. If I wasn't Baptist, I'd be ashamed. Amen. That's what I'd be. Boy, I told that one time on the job. I did. I mean, I was working a public job and I was subcontracting at a company, and I said that, and I said it within in an earshot of somebody else, of this elderly lady, and she got mad at me for saying if I wasn't Baptist, I'd be ashamed. I don't know what she was, but she wasn't Baptist, obviously. But listen, look, he said right here, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. Are you struggling? I tell you, I can't get away from it. Are you struggling with what you believe this morning? Well, you ought to know what you believe.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Jeff was teaching on the Word of God. If you want to know what to believe, take the Word of God, open it up, pray over it, and begin to read it.
Amen. That's right.
You say, well, I thank God, or He ain't going to show you nothing without the Word of God.
That's right.
He won't do it. I know I told you this story, but I remember talking to a gentleman one time, and he was struggling with the end times, still ain't got it right, how the end times going to turn out. And he said, I pray that God would show me about that. And locked my eyes, but he never opened his Bible one time. Do you know God just ain't going to reveal it to you just out of thin air? You're going to have to open your Bible and begin to read. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look in verse 2 of Hebrews 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. He said this in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So remember, that word neglect means to omit. It means by carelessness or design. He said, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, as I read that verse the other day, I thought about, boy, I tell you, and I've got it marked in my Bible right here. I've got it blocked out on that great salvation. Boy, ain't the Salvation Church that we have today, ain't it great? I mean, there's none greater than that, than what God has done for us. Listen, you ever think about that? We didn't have to do anything to get saved. All we had to do is come to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save us. I mean, listen, and He's even the one that came and knocked on our heart and showed us that we were sinners and that we needed to get saved. I mean, all we had to do was trust Him. So great a salvation. Well, you know what makes it great? It's free, ain't it? It's free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not even says it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, the Bible says, I believe it was in the book of Psalms chapter 49, how that we can't even give a ransom for our own soul, let alone the soul of our brothers. Listen, today, salvation, what makes it so great? It was free. Salvation is free. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't even have to have two pennies in your pocket to rub together. He will save you. Amen. He'll save. And that the vilest person that there ever was. Ain't that something? That God will save a sinner. You don't have to be righteous. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Amen. He said, those that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, amen, need the physician. Boy, what makes it so great? It's free, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's not by my work, but by His at Calvary that Jesus saves today. What makes that salvation so great? He does, amen. Listen, it's free. We didn't have to work for it. And boy, He'll save anybody. You know, the Apostle Paul said, how did he put, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Amen. Hey, He'll save anybody. Amen. That'll come. Good, bad, and in between. He'll save. Boy, the Apostle Paul was a vile man.
Yes.
He was chasing down and killing the church. I don't know how you can get any more vile than that. You say, can God save that rapist down there in the prison? He sure can. He sure can. Can He save that sodomite? Now, some of you ain't going to believe this, but He sure can. You say, how do you figure God can save a sodomite? Now, listen, I don't know where He turns them over to a reprobate mind at. I don't know. Romans 1 talks about them being in a reprobate mind, but I don't know where it's at. And only God knows that, but I do know this, that up until the time that He turns them over to a reprobate mind, listen, they can get saved. Amen. How do you know that? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's your sodomite. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch what Paul said in verse 11. He said, and such were some of you. He said, you were like that one day. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. He said, look, God saved you out of that mess. He's made you fit and that holy and that for Him. Amen. Hey, it's a great salvation that we have today. Wasn't it a great Savior that went to Calvary and died for us? Boy, we get to singing. We got so much to thank Him for. I'll be honest with you. Shame on us. We all ought to have been shouting when them songs was being sung. Because if we just look just about that song, it said, when I look around and see all the good things that He's done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, ain't that the truth? Hey, listen, even though I'm saved and kept by the power of God, I'm still unworthy, and that are the blessings of God. What makes my salvation so great was the Savior that went to Calvary and died for me and died for you so that we could be saved. Amen. Listen, you remember what Luke, what the angel Gabriel said over in the book of Luke, chapter 1, when he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and that to Mary, what did he say? And he shall be what? Great. He shall be great. Talking about him. I ain't great. You ain't great. But he's great.
Amen.
Amen. And a great salvation. Boy, I tell you, that's just all kinds of extra than what I had wrote down here. Amen. I tell you, we'll take this thing, throw it out. But listen, you know what makes it great? Hey, when I got saved, my destiny got changed.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Listen, my destiny got changed. You realize you're going to die one day and you're going to spend eternity somewhere. If you're unsaved, it'll be in hell. You can't undo it. Listen, when you die, Bible said as is appointed men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no coming back. Yeah, I was reading an article the other day in the news, and like I tell you, I read more of my news than I watch because I hope I can get it unbiased if I read it, you know. That's awful hard to do today, get unbiased news. You can go ahead and say amen right there too. That's the truth, amen. But listen, they're talking about over in, I believe it was China, they're going to do a head transplant. Head transplant. Now boy, I tell you, we're doing heart transplants and liver transplants and lung transplants. But I'm thinking after you cut a man's head off, he's dead. I mean, that seems simple, don't it? Amen? I mean, you cut a man's head off, he's going to die. And they're talking about doing a head transplant and putting it on to another body. And I'm trying to figure all this mess out, how that's going to work. Because I know what my Bible says right there. Huh? Because the Bible talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes, as a tree falleth, there shall it lie.
Yeah.
And I mean, once you die, you're dead. I mean, once your heart quits pumping and your brain waves cease and God has said enough is enough, you're dead. Graveyard, dead. Cold, dead. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. But boy, you know, when I got saved, I don't have to worry about dying.
Amen.
He suffered death for me. Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter, was it 10? Was it? I'm trying to remember, but said that he tasted death. For every man. Said that he tasted death for every man. I don't have to worry about death because my destiny and that changed. Listen, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, for we know, I love that word know, K-N-O-W. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God in the house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I've got a home in heaven. Thank God. Hey, not only do I got a home in heaven, I've got a body in heaven.
Right.
Amen. And the Bible said in little John, 2 John or 1 John chapter 3, it talks about that it's like Him.
Amen.
He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know this, that when He shall appear, then we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We don't understand everything now. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 that we see through a glass darkly. God can explain to us about heaven. Listen, He's explained to us in His book about heaven, about the new body. We understand some things about that. But I don't think none of us grasp what heaven's going to be like. That thing's going to be hard to figure out in our mortal body. But do know this, it's real. I do know this, the child of God goes there. And that is a place of rest and peace and comfort and that for the child of God. Boy, so great a salvation. He talks about that, so great. He said that it's so great salvation. But you know what he said about that? And by the way, let me say this, that you get a Savior that loves you. You get a Savior that loves you. I was saying about old Freddie Mathis that Brother Spence Powell called and told me about. Then I shared this with you Wednesday night. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, Brother Powell, he's one of our prison missionaries. He called me last week. He said, preacher, we had 103 saved in three-day revival down at Silverdale. And he was telling me about Freddie Mathis. And I tell you what, I've been dwelling on this. I think some of us men probably ought to write old Freddie. I got thinking about that. We ought to write old Freddie, and I'll get his address, and we'll just encourage him. He said, old Freddie got it. And he said, you know what Freddie was looking for? He said, look, he had know something about him. He said his mom and daddy deserted him when he was little. And he just growed up in foster care in one home and out and into another and said nobody ever loved him. And he said that's even why he joined the Muslim faith, because he was looking for somebody to love him. He wanted somebody in that just to love on him and show him some attention. And he said, you know what? When I began to tell him about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, listen, can I tell you, Jesus loves you today. Oh, if you're unsaved. Listen, you may not be like old Freddie Mathis that never had nobody to love you, because I had a good home. I did. I had a mom and daddy that loved me more than the world and still loves me more than the world today. And listen, but you know what? Jesus loves me greater than they do.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus loves me greater than they do. You say, well, what happens if they's even willing to die for you? Jesus loves me greater than they did. You know why? Because He took my sin and He took your sin. Boy, it's a great salvation today. But look what the writer said. Now remember what I'm preaching on? Boy, I got to preaching on Jesus and His salvation. And by the way, it's all about Him. I don't ever. You know what I'm afraid of? You know what I'm afraid of, church, is that we just, and especially for me, because I load, as my pastor used to say, I load and unload and reload and unload and reload and unload. I preached four times last week and taught once. So five times I had to get ready. He said, well, and as one fellow said, that's what I signed up for. And I understand that. Now, I don't want you to feel sorry for me, okay? But I mean, I just load and unload so many times through the week. Just in the Word of God. Get what I need and try to go. And by the way, you're to try to get something new all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I tell him evangelists sometimes, you boys get 7 or 8 messages and you all are good to go. I could be able to preach them real good too if that's all I was ever preaching. Amen. I give them a hard time. But that's all right. I had one tell me the other day. He said, "Preacher, I don't know how you do what you do." He said, "To get something new every week, at least 3 to 4 times a week. I don't know how you do it." Hey, it's only God. Amen. It's only God. But listen. Listen, I load and unload, load and unload, load and unload. And you know what I'm afraid? That I just get in the mode or the groove or the rut or whatever you want to put it, and that's all I do. And I'm afraid sometimes that you do that. And you get used to life, and church is coming Sunday, and church is coming Wednesday, and we've got everything in between, and we're just living life, and we miss God along the way. You say, "Well, you're preaching." Yeah, I'm preaching and I'm trying to do my job, but I don't want the job to get in the way of me missing God, you see. The old saying is, you can't see the forest because of the trees. You following me? Kind of the way Christianity gets sometimes. We get so wound up in service that we miss God along the way. Don't ever want to do that. I won't ever forget that it was Jesus that loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't want to focus so much on, and listen, we need to focus on serving Him and doing for Him and doing what He wants us to do. Don't get me wrong, please. Don't go out here and say that we shouldn't serve. That ain't what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that we need to keep Him in the forefront and remember why we're doing what we're doing. That old song, is it page 115, Miss Evelyn, "Living in the Shadow of the Cross"? Boy, we need to live in the shadow. But I want you to look what he said. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" So great salvation. How do you neglect salvation? When Jesus comes and knocks on your door, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door knocking. If any man will hear my voice, if any man will hear my voice and will open the door," he said, "I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me." So when you hear that knock on your heart, but then you put it off and you neglect that knock, you're putting off salvation. When you know in your heart and your head that you need to get saved and God is dealing with you. Listen, Acts 24 talked about Felix, and the Bible said about the Apostle Paul, and as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Paul stood and preached. Felix was under conviction. And he said, "When I have a convenient season, I want you to go. But when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." He had the most convenient season was right then. Are you listening? When Jesus calls. Isaiah 55 said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near." Hey, listen, when he's dealing, that is the time. But if you say no, then you neglect so great salvation. You neglect that home in heaven. You neglect that change of destiny. You neglect the love that God has given to you so that you might be saved. Wouldn't you like to come and get saved today? Wouldn't you like to get saved? That's why he said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And you can come and get saved. I want you to look. He said in verse 3, "How shall we escape?" Escape what? See, the thing about negligence is there's always a consequence to negligence. When I was wiring houses for myself, I carried a $1 million policy of liability. So if I'd done something wrong, whether it was omitted by carelessness or design, that if I'd done something wrong, then that insurance would pay off. But here was the one thing that I remember my insurance agent telling me, and she said this, but she said, they first have to prove negligence. I said, they have to prove that you done something wrong. Whether it was intentional or whether it was unintentional, but you done something wrong to burn down the house. Negligence. When we neglect salvation, there's judgment that comes. What did I say a few minutes ago? Death comes just like that, don't it? I can fall over dead right now. Now think about that. Right now, you could die dead. You're going to face God. How are you going to face Him? You're going to face Him neglecting salvation? Are you going to face Him and that having turned away? And the Bible said right here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape and that to the neglection and that of salvation that Jesus has brought to us. You cannot escape hellfire and condemnation without trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? You cannot escape today. If you neglect, if you owe me, hey, I'm determined today, church, that there are folk in hell that's burning right now that by simple negligence, amen, they just put it off.
Yep.
They put it off. Now, preacher, I don't know if what you're telling me is the truth. So I'm going to put it off. I'll tell you what I'm telling you is the truth. Yeah. Listen, if you say, well, why should I believe you? Why should I trust you? I've showed you in this book. I've showed you. Well, let me show you. Take your Bible. I'm not going to get this thing done. I've already figured this out today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look. I kind of had a feeling when I left the house I wasn't going to get it done today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look what the Apostle Paul says about salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How do you know, preacher, that what you've done saved you? How do you know that? How do you trust that? How are you just so determined that you're right? I'm not necessarily right. The Bible's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I'm depending on, you see. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with this book that's sitting in front of me.
Right.
I want you to look in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. You're going to see what the gospel is right here in just a second. Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. What are they saved by? The gospel.
Amen.
What's the gospel? Hold on a minute. For I delivered unto you first of all, let me back up. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What did Paul receive? He received the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really? Preacher, that's all I have to believe, is that Jesus came and died for me, was buried for me, and rose again for me. And if I believe that, He'll save me? Yes!
Hallelujah.
Amen!
Hallelujah.
Salvation is that simple today. It's easy to get saved. We get sidetracked in the simplicity that is in Christ. Romans chapter 10 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You go down to verse 13 of Romans 10, and it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you do not do that, I don't care what your religion teaches you. This is not Baptist salvation that I'm teaching you and preaching to you. This is Bible salvation.
Amen.
Now, as Baptists, this is what we believe, but this is Bible salvation.
Amen.
I can dunk you in this pool. I can take you and dunk you in the river, and you'll just still be a sinner when we get you out. As much as I believe in water baptism, it ain't going to save you.
Amen.
Amen. You can partake of the Lord's Supper. And by the way, that's for saved folk.
That's right.
But it ain't going to save you. Huh? It just won't save you. But believing in your heart that Jesus will save you if you'll come and ask Him to do that. But He said, don't neglect. Don't neglect salvation. Don't put it off. Hey, listen, why? Because there is what? There is coming a day. He said, how shall we escape? How are you going to escape judgment? How are you going to escape hell? How are you going to escape eternal lake of fire? If you're not saved, you won't. That's where you be for eternity. Separated and that from the love of God and from those that you love and that love you. All because you neglected so great a salvation. To owe me it. Whether it was by design or whether it was by carelessness. Again, I think folk in hell right now, they intended to get saved one day. I think some did. I think some said in their mind, tomorrow, some said next week, some said next month, maybe next year, but I intend to get saved one day. But you know what happened? Death came and found them, didn't it? Just like that. You don't have to be old to die. I still get a little unnerved when I look in the newspaper and somebody that's my age or younger than me dies. That nerves me just a little bit. So, preacher, are you afraid of dying? I ain't afraid of dying. I know where I'm going. Don't misunderstand me. But still unnerves me just a little bit. How about you? You know where you're going. When you die, are you neglecting so great a salvation? Let's bow our heads across the house. We get a verse of invitation, fellas. Do you know? Are you ready to meet God? Or are you neglecting? Are you neglecting? You know the difference, you know the opposite of neglecting something means to do it. Just simply means to do it. There was a lot more to this message, but listen, right now I want to talk to you about your salvation. Are you neglecting putting off get saved? Well, people, preacher, these people going to be looking at me if I come. Don't you worry about people looking at you. These folk love you in here today. And they want you to get saved. They're praying for you to get saved. Really? Yeah. They're praying for you to get saved. I'm praying for you to get saved. Are you going to neglect it and put it off? God's given a great opportunity. God's gave opportunity this morning for you to come. It's no accident that you're here this morning and for the message that was preached. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The only way that you can ever escape hellfire and damnation, condemnation, eternal lake of fire. Listen, when I say eternal, that means forever and ever. How scary that is. Don't neglect this morning. The only way that you're going to escape is by the precious Lord Jesus and the blood that was shed at Calvary. Don't neglect this morning. Go ahead and start playing, Brother Lewis, if you would. Listen, I'm fixing to pray. But I want you to come. Listen, I want you to come. Get saved this morning. Don't neglect. Don't neglect that salvation that Jesus bought and paid for us yonder at Calvary. If you've never been saved, this morning's your morning. Heavenly Father, help right now during this invitation. Lord, there may be a man, woman, boy, or girl here today that's never been saved. I pray they'd come this morning. Pray they'd come and get saved. Don't let them neglect. Don't let them neglect trusting you this morning. We love you, Lord. Thank you now. Help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.